This is Shiar Jashub, coming from Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. I'm Patty Scalzo, and today we will be continuing a sermon in my husband's series on the Book of Romans. Last time, Pastor was in chapter 2 and verse 1, where Paul writes, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things." And Pastor Greg looked at the Greek word to judge, krino, and then discussed the Lord's teaching in Matthew chapter 7, which begins, "Judge not, that you be not judged." Let's rejoin Pastor Greg.
Now, let's be clear on something. We are supposed to judge rightly. Look at the very next verse. He says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." Aren't you making a judgment there, right? If you follow the Lord's prescription in chapter 7, verse 6, you're making a judgment. And the very word of God, the canon, the measuring stick, and the truth of the gospel of Christ, they are pearls. And Jesus says, don't take your pearls and throw them before swine. You have something very valuable that I'm giving you. Judge how you use it. Use it wisely. Right? There's a judgment involved. We ought to know what is right. We ought to know what is true. We ought to know what is of God. We ought to know what is evil, what is of the enemy. And we're to distinguish between them. We ought to distinguish between the clean and the unclean, between the righteous and the unrighteous. All the rest of the Sermon on the Mount confirms that point. Jesus commanded his disciples in John chapter 7 and verse 24. And to those he was debating with, he commanded, he says, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge," same word, "with righteous judgment." We ought to make righteous judgments. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in that matter of the brethren suing each other in the secular courts, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge," same word, "the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more should we judge things that pertain to this life?" So what's being said then by the Lord in Matthew chapter 7 when he says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." It's all too easy to see the faults and to judge, as in to pass judgment without mercy, without understanding, on somebody else. It's easy for us to see the problems everyone else has and not see the problems we have. And we all have problems. You read in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 22, and then throughout the book of Acts, throughout the whole book of Acts, is a clear stumbling block that many of the Jews have who are leaning toward believing in Jesus as Messiah. And that stumbling block is, how can those reprobate, dirty, immoral Gentiles receive salvation? Look at them. Look at what they believe. Look at the practices they have. How can they receive God's salvation? And it's a stumbling block to them. They're not like us. They don't know the law. They don't know the prophets like we Pharisees. And you're telling us that Jesus, the Messiah, is giving salvation to the Gentiles? We have the law. We have the prophets. We have Abraham as our father. And that one specific verse I was referring to in Acts chapter 22, in verse 19, you have Paul on the stairs addressing the Jerusalem mob. And he says in verse 19, "So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles." Now at this point, the whole mob is quiet. They're listening as Paul gives his testimony. And they're interested. But the moment he says that the Lord tells him, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles, it says in verse 22, and they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. And then as they cried out and tore off their clothes, they threw dust into the air. How can he say such a thing? It was a stumbling block for the Jew because they lived a life that was so different from those pagans. And we can't imagine, we'll start to see pagan culture as we go into a post-Christian era and into a pre-pagan world. We're starting to see the types of things that go on in paganism. Well, they have been surrounded by it. How can those Gentiles be saved? Today, many who say they're Christians have the same attitude. They become prideful in their Christianity. They can be prideful as though Christianity is a heritage. And how can you tell me that person can be saved? You know, who knows what you might be like if you were in that person's situation? We don't know the circumstances of every life. So when we start to judge and say, how can that person be saved? Right? Well, how can we be saved? Judge not that you be not judged. When Jesus says judge not, he's not saying not to judge what is sinful. Why would he even talk about take the plank out of your eye to help take the speck out of your brother's? That's talking about sin, right? Rather, don't judge yourself as better, as superior. That's pride. That's like the Pharisee. You know, the Pharisee in the temple, Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now notice, the tax collector is not saying he's great. You know, in today's society, we flipped it around, that people in sin say, well, don't judge me, I'm a perfect person. And you're not supposed to say anything is sinful, anything is wrong. This man, when you read this parable, he knows what he's done is wrong. He can't even look up to heaven. He feels so unworthy. He beats his breast and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Right. Notice the lead-in to that section. When Jesus starts his parable in chapter 18, verse 10, the verse before it, chapter 18, 9, it says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's what this parable is about. He spoke it to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. They look down on others. Do not judge yourself not in need of salvation just as much as everyone else. Judge not. that you be not judged. It's all too easy in Christianity as in Judaism, and really it's the same religion, right? Because we are, and we should be concerned with righteousness, it becomes all too easy to forget that on our own, we're not righteous. We begin to trust in ourselves. We begin to think we're something different, and so we then begin to look down on others, despise others, and we forget that we all need God's salvation. And so, as I said last week, if we're going to deal with the sin of our generation, we need to take the beam out of our own eye, that sin that so easily ensnares, so easily entangles. And also, if we're going to survive the darkness, now, while it is still light, we have to take the plank out. We have to deal whatever that sin is that we have. Everyone, we have different things that the devil uses to pull us down. Whatever the weakest link is, the devil will use to destroy us. Especially when times get dark. If you don't work when you have the light, what's going to happen when darkness comes? You have to deal and crucify that sin right now, this moment. You don't wait for tomorrow if you're going to survive in the times ahead. So when you judge sin rightly, when you make the right measure, first and foremost, we measure to apply to ourselves. If I see something in Scripture that's a sin, the first person I have to say I need to apply that to and see what I need to deal with is myself. Human nature is what? We want to project it out. Oh, I know someone that did that, when the same things could be festering inside ourselves. Understanding that we're all sinners. We all need the Lord's salvation from sin. And what do we mean by salvation from sin? Forgiveness of sin so we're reconciled, and victory over sin so that we're sanctified and truly saved. And then we can help others. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. But we know, verse 2 of chapter 2 in Romans, but we know that the judgment of God is according to fickleness and sovereign decree that can change moment by moment. No, it doesn't say that, does it? But we know that the judgment of God is according to favoritism and partiality. No, it doesn't say that either, does it? What does it say? But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth, based on truth, against those who practice such things. It's according to truth. God is a fair, just God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he judges, his judgment, which is just, is according, based on truth.
We'll continue the message in our next broadcast. On our website at shiarjashub.org, you will find a library of radio and video Bible teachings and important links, including links to the 10:30 a.m. live stream of our Sunday service on YouTube and X.com. That site again is shiarjashub.org, and you can check Isaiah 7, verse 3 for the spelling.